Magal Radio.
Okay, I'm very, very pleased and delighted to welcome into the studio tonight my special guests, very special guests indeed. I've got Pete Riley and I've got Shimona. Good evening, fellas.
Hi, Cliff. Hello. How's it going, mate?
That's all right, not too bad. I'm dying with the man flu, so keep up that side of the desk. You'll be fine. You'll be all right. Okay, for anyone who's listening at home as well, give us a shout. Let us know how the guys are sounding. If you've got any questions as well that you want to ask, please let me know and I will put them to them. I've got one or two here already that people have sent in over the last couple of days, so I'll be asking the guys. But before I do that, firstly, I think it's only right for anybody who doesn't know, for the guys to introduce themselves, tell us a little bit about the background, who you are, what you do, and everything else. So, Pete, over to you.
Pete Riley, lion tamer in Holland. No, I'm only kidding. Pete Riley, singer-songwriter, worked with Treehouse, Edwin McCain, platinum-selling artist in the US, Henry Priestman, my old comrade Les Glover, and etc.
Brilliant. Right, making us look bad now.
Follow that one, boys.
Go on. Do you want to go next?
Go on.
My name's Andy. I play guitar in Shimona.
Okay.
Great
band.
Great band.
Okay.
Pete C. I'm not Pete C. I will be one day. No, Pete Junior. I'm the singer, bass player, and left back.
And finally myself, Matthew, play the drums.
Give us a go on a beatbox then, let's have a listen. Superb, I like that.
Ooh, yeah. Very
expensive. Sounding good.
Excellent, okay. All right, so just a little bit of background as well. The first time that I saw you, Pete, was a few years back, and it was at a songwriter's circle, and you were with Henry Priestman and Les Glover. As you said, you worked with a lot of people over the years. And I'd never heard of you before, I've got to be dead honest, and when I saw you, I was blown away. Straight to the merch stall, bought a couple of your albums, and I thought, yeah, this guy is good.
You want your money back now?
No. Basically, for me, I was just blown away at how good your songwriting is. And I say, I've said this for years about local bands. You don't get the credit and the recognition that you deserve. A lot of people out there, I'm sure, will listen for the first time tonight, will go along and find, you know, where they can pick up your music from. Because it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant.
Well, I really appreciate that, Cliff. Thanks. That's why it's so important, I think, for people to go out and support grassroots music and small venues. Because as you quite rightly say, you know, there's great bands and singer-songwriters out there that are generally getting sort of overlooked and stuff. And
definitely.
I mean, I was lucky. I went and, you know, I was one of the lucky people who signed a record deal, and that took me to the States for 10 years. So that's why, you know, right, I've been back 4 or 5 years, and people, you know, various people have come up and said, well, you know, why have I not heard of you and where have you been? And it's because, you know, the hiatus of being over there. We got signed to Atlantic, Treehouse, and we relocated. And, you know, I was over there for a long time. As I say, best part of 10 years.
Yeah.
But it's great to kind of, talking about the songwriter circle gigs, again, they're not, as you well know, you've been, they're not really big gigs. They're like 100 plus maybe. But it gives people an opportunity to, you know, to come in. I mean, it's funny, sometimes I see people coming in to the shows and they'll see like three guitars on the stage.
Yeah.
And if they're not familiar with the music, they generally look and think, oh, this is not going to be that good.
No.
And then when people get up and tell the stories and sing the songs and then they get to see, you know, the musicianship and stuff, it's really interesting how it's completely turns them around.
Yeah, that's what I like. I mean, I've seen bands in massive stadiums, all over the place, and to see a gig like that stripped down, for me, is just perfect. It's the ultimate intimate gig, and, you know, house gigs, been to loads of them, and I've told you, Dave, as well, you know, did the future, definitely, without a doubt, brilliant.
Well, the thing is, it's universal. I mean, we recently done a tour of Holland, and that was an acoustic show, just the first time round. And again, it was broke down, it was grassroots, and they loved it, they loved the stories, and the kind of, you've got nothing to hide when you're doing acoustic and you're talking about your music. It's universal.
And I think it gives people a chance, that gives the listener, because it's great when you get a record and it's produced and it sounds great and you put it on, but I think it gives the listener a chance to hear the songs how they were written.
That's
as
right.
Well,
yeah,
because most songs are written either on acoustic guitar or acoustic piano,
yeah,
so it gives them a sort of an insight, if you like,
yeah,
into how it sounded and how
before
it came
everything's
out.
Added to before, it, of course, and the producer gets older.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Which brings us to the first question, which is from Mike, and he says, to ask Pete, how does he go about writing his songs?
Just kind of lock myself, usually lock myself in a room and make sure... It's weird with songwriting. I think you have to kind of put time aside to do it. I do, otherwise I get very lazy about it. Mm. But if I kind of get up and know, right, I've got to write a song today, more often than not, touch wood, when I don't want to jinx myself, sometimes I have to chip away at it, but yeah, eventually a song will come. And it's usually, I would say 80% of the time, it'll be a melody first.
Yeah.
And then I'll kind of start locking into a lyric that'll work with it.
Yeah.
And then that's how it kind of comes about.
Great. That's funny, because when I was talking last week, I did do a classic album feature on here on a Monday night, usually at this time, and I'd done the Side Story by Squeeze, and I was explaining about how they went about writing their songs, and they had a very, very strange setup, Chris and Glenn.
I can tell you the story about Chris. I did a bit of writing with Chris.
Yeah.
And it was the weirdest thing, because I mean, I'm a massive Squeeze fan.
Yeah.
And we were recording in the East Sussex and Parkgate Studios. And my old manager said, I'm going to get Chris Difford down. And I was like, wow, I'm brilliant. A big Squeeze fan. This is going to be brilliant. And so, you know, sure enough, Chris turns up. And I'm like, wow, I'm going to go and write with Chris Difford. So we go into the room, the live room. And it shows you how far back I'm going. Laptops has only just came out then. And Chris takes this space age looking thing out of his rucksack, whatever, and it's a laptop. And I get my guitar out, and when you normally write with people, you usually kind of, you know, fire ideas across, yeah, and stuff like that. But Chris had a unique way. He kind of listened to some of the tunes I had, and then he opened the laptop and just said, right, there's loads of lyrics in there, go through it and see what you like. And I was like, wow, such a weird approach, man. Yeah. But then it gave me, again, it was like when afterwards I realised how women Glenn work,
yeah,
and that's how they work.
They did, yeah.
But for me, I'd always kind of, if I'm writing with Henry or something, we'll fire ideas across the table. Yeah. But Chris has got a complete, comes different in with the lyric. It's weird.
Apparently he used to write all his lyrics down. They'd hire a house somewhere, they'd write all his lyrics down, they'd be in separate rooms, and he'd just go and post them under the door for Glenn.
Wow.
And then he'd work away at them, and I was saying when they fell out one time, big time, they were still writing.
Yeah.
Glenn had put the most awkward chord changes in because he knew that Chris wasn't that great on guitar.
That's right. Yeah.
He had a bit of a real strange.
The Shimona lads do that to me. Put, you know, minor fifths and then sevenths and go, yeah, have a bit of that.
We put the strangest lyrics in.
So Shimona, okay, how long have you been going then?
We've been going since school. Since we were about 15, was it 14? Yeah. So I think we're 23 now.
Right.
I was, you know what, I don't know how old I am anymore. I was in town the other week and someone asked me how old I was and I said 23 and they said, no, you're not. And since then, it's proper affected me where I don't know how old I am anymore, but I'm sure I am 23. And we've been going since we were 15, so what's that, 8 years? Yeah. 8 years, yeah.
So your long school mate, to take it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not Matt, he went to a posh school.
Oh, right.
Yeah, he was a posh.
Is this the Matt that went missing when you played at the Atkinson?
Yeah.
We found him, yeah.
Right, you found him, you tracked him down. That was so funny.
I think you were playing Quidditch or something. Yeah, we found him.
Can I just tell you, that night he's absolutely smashed it, and because the comments that I heard from people, because we'd gone there to see the Christians, and from what we knew, the Hummingbirds were supporting, and I love the Hummingbirds.
They were supposed to be, yeah.
Yeah, but these split up and they had all kinds going on, and I didn't know. And then obviously you come on the stage and, oh, kids, so that's Shimona. I said, no, it's not, there's only two of them. Yeah, and then you go and said, I don't see another drummer. Like,
yeah, yeah.
But
that was a great
you just pulled it off. You're going to be replaced by a drum machine. But I had loads and loads of people, you know, saying how good you were that night. So it's a great compliment to you. And I've seen you a few times playing, and your music's brilliant. And another question that I've got for you is, where did the name come from? Someone's asked me. What does Shimona mean?
Age old question.
I haven't got a clue. I bet you're sick of it, but I've been asked.
We googled it, and apparently it's a swear word. So
really?
Yeah, so don't say it on air.
This is my last show tonight.
No, we have no idea. I don't know whether it's just a noise or... I don't know what it is. It's a school in America.
Right.
I know that. But
it's a bit of a Marmite name, I think. A lot of people love it. A lot of people hate it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
It is. Yeah. I must admit, when I hear that, in my mind, I just think of My Sharona. It's in there because I'm of an age when I know that song, you see. So
I was going to say, you're giving your age
away. I am. I'm 39 this year. I had a big paper round. Right, so, fellas, I'd like you to play a song for us, if you would.
What one do you want to do first?
Shooting Stars.
Okay, anyone listening at home, this is Shimona and Pete Riley doing Shooting Stars. So please let me know how it sounds and what you think and everything else. So away you go, fellas, whenever you're ready.
Keep our love in a plain brown box. Keep it tied with a simple lock. Hold it close cause it's all we got. You think it's ordinary but it's not. In a world that's starting to fade, a little love can pave the way. So keep it tied with a simple lock. You think it's ordinary but it's not. Maybe this life is just about love and tenderness. If all we are shooting stars, maybe we can fight all of this pain and loneliness. If all we are shooting stars. I'm tired of hearing about the bling bling. I'm so concerned with material things. It's all cars and diamond rings. And do you think it's gonna ease your sting? Cause that's a hole that you can't feel. Velvet rope overkill. Free your mind and let your heart sing. Just remember that the only things. Cause maybe this life is just about love and tenderness. If all we are is shooting stars. Maybe we can fight all of this pain and loneliness. If all we are shooting stars. Cause I used to live by the minute, but I was too blind to see. Now I've found the strength to admit it, now it's all I believe. Please believe, no. Maybe this life is just about love and tenderness. If all we are shooting stars. Maybe we can't fight all of this pain and loneliness. If all we are shooting stars. Yeah. Oh, we're just shooting stars. Oh no, no. Just shooting stars. Oh yeah. Just shooting stars. No, 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 no. Shooting stars.
Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Thank you very much. I absolutely love that song as well, and I've had some great comments have come through already. Paul Dean, thank you for listening tonight and saying acoustic guitar, spot on, vocal spot on, sound and perfecto. Brilliant. Mike, thank you very much for your Mike, thank you for your comments as well. So yeah, sounding great, fellas. Absolutely brilliant.
Thank you.
So
thank you.
Great stuff. And that song, Pete, as well. You've done that with Amy Watch.
It was recorded on the last Amy Pete's album, but it was co-written with a guy called Edwin McCain,
right?
And it was basically a bit of a war cry against the whole sort of bling X Factor vibe where we live in. And when it was in a Warner Brothers movie as well about Jack and Bobby Kennedy, which paid the bills for a year or two, which was nice.
That's a bonus, isn't it?
Yeah, it's always nice when that happens.
Yeah, no, that's great.
You know, Shimon and Mona is the Isle of Man, isn't it?
There you go.
Ah, well, there you go. Something to do with that, then we'll see.
Yeah.
Isle of Man used to be called Mona's Isle.
Ah, well, there you go.
A little bit of history here from Dave Hughes.
A steam packing book called The Mona's Isle.
I'm glad someone knows what they're talking about here.
Okay, so
we just used to pretend it was our girlfriends, and she's a Mona.
Do you know what that sounds about? Right, that's perfect. So you guys are working on some new stuff, yeah, Shimon?
Yeah, yeah, we're back in the studio. The 20th of it's this month.
Oh my god!
So he's not going to be there.
Yeah,
is he not invited? No.
End of this month, but we're back in. Yeah, so. Hopefully get a new EP out
great
next month. We'll hopefully get the release done next month, but we're going into record it this month, so
super.
We're just locked.
And where are you recording? Where do you record?
Par Street. We're in Par Street, so yeah. it's a good
great venue. Yeah, bit of history there,
you know, all the gold discs on the wall. Yeah, and it's a good place to record.
I'll tell you a little story about Par Street Studios. I blagged my way in there once to interview the Stranglers, because I knew that they were recording the album there. So it was 1995, I think it was. They were recording the album in there, and I'd heard on the radio that they were recording Liverpool. So I turned up, I went to WH Smith, bought a notebook and a pen. It's true, this. And turned up and I went into reception. I said, "I'm here to see the Stranglers." They went, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm writing for the Canadian Stranglers magazine." They went, "Oh, right, just go through there." So got all the way through.
So when he comes to the gig on the floor, we know, don't let any Canadians.
Oh, yeah. Scally Scouse doesn't know all the tricks, you know. But I got through, met JJ Burnell, and I said to him, I said, "Oh, look, is any chance of a bit of an interview?" He said, "I'll do better than that." He said, "We just recorded this song," took me into small studio, small. Half the size of this where we are now.
What?
And he played me a song called Golden Boy, which they'd recorded that day, and for me being a massive Stranglers fan, I thought, oh my god, I'm in heaven.
Brilliant.
Here they were great. They sat down, I interviewed JJ, the guy called John Ellis, who was with them at the time. He was a bit of an odd one, but he was there as well. The only one I didn't get to see was Jet Black, which is a shame because he's a legend.
Yeah.
But Par Street, yeah,
a lot of history.
Yeah,
so
yeah, just enjoying that. That's good.
They're probably still looking for is there a real magazine? They're probably still looking for
that. There is, to be honest. There is.
There is,
honest to God, but I blagged it and I got it, and I've still got it somewhere, and I did a nice little interview and a write up, and I actually sent it to the fanzine and they printed it as well.
There
you go.
It was worthwhile.
So Pete, as well, you've got something out, haven't you? You've got a live
We did, as the lads were saying, Andy was saying before, we did a tour of the Netherlands, was it last year? And we were invited over. And I didn't realise the shows were getting recorded. And it was only afterwards, a couple of months later, the promoter sent the files over and said, "I think you should think about releasing this as an album." And I'll be honest with you, he'd sent them AJ a couple of times, and I just didn't get round to it. And AJ's great for kind of giving you the kick up the backside. And he said, "Look, you really need to do this." And so recently I thought, you know what, I'll send them over, I'll have a little tweak in the studio, and they didn't really need much doing, they just needed sort of a bit of compression and a little bit of reverb and stuff, and I just put them out as is, and people are digging it, because again, it's the first live solo acoustic album I've put out. All the albums previous to that have been, you know, big production, full band, and I often get people at shows saying, "But we want an album with what you've just done."
Yeah, definitely.
So it's great to kind of say, "Well, okay, that's out there now."
It's got that exact version of Shooting Stars on.
Because I got the lads. We used to. What we did was we'd play in each other's sets, which was brilliant, loads of fun. And I'd get up and jam with them in their set, and they'd get up and jam with me. So on the album, I thought, I've got to have at least one song with the Shimona lads jamming on, and it's.
I think it works great. It's a perfect setup. Yeah. And so how can people get hold of that?
That's available on Spotify, CD Baby, iTunes, Apple Music,
all the usual stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. And what's it called?
It's called Live in the Netherlands. Yeah, Pete Riley Live in the Netherlands.
Brilliant. Okay. I see. You seem to have a bit of a following over there, because I know. It's probably when I saw you that you were working over there. I thought, how come you're in the Netherlands, sir?
Well, it goes back to AJ, the promoter. He'd seen me in New York about 10 years before, and we'd been sort of to and fro with emails and kept in touch, and he kept saying to me, "I want to get you over to the Netherlands." And again, you sort of say, yeah, I'll do that, and then you don't get round to it because life gets in the way and you're doing other gigs. And eventually I just thought, you know what, let's make this happen, let's do it, let's commit to it. And we put some dates in the diary last year, and then he got familiar with the Shimona lads as well. I'd sent him the Just Like You EP, because initially he didn't know the word, and when I sent him it, he got back and he was like, "These guys, who are these guys? They're amazing." And that's when I told him, well, Pete the singer's my son. He's like, "You're kidding?" Because he didn't know, because I thought, I want to send him it and see if he likes it, you know. And he loved it, and he was like, "We've got to do some, you know, bring them over, can he play acoustic?" And I said, well, yeah, absolutely. That's so they went over, these guys went down a storm over there, and we went back and they did the single release, which was it was amazing. Like the second trip, and the venue was full of people singing along to their single release, which I was just like in the audience going, how cool is that?
Yeah, I mean, as an artist, that's, you know, to have someone singing your stuff back to you has got to be a massive buzz.
Especially
that.
In a country where, you know,
exactly. Puts us to shame, innit, that we can only speak Scouse, you know?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Question coming in, where can people go to see you? What have you got coming up gig-wise?
Well, the Liverpool show, unfortunately, is sold out. That's on the 14th of April. That is in Renshaw Street. That's sold out now. But there will be... Is the other... Oh, Thornough. That's not till...
When are you doing
That's not till September, later on in the year.
I'll have to make sure I'm there, because I can't make the Renshaw Street one.
Well, it's sold out anyway.
Try and get
down to the... Thornough's a great venue, but we're not there till the end of the year.
You can get all the dates on...
all the websites.
Right. And shimona.co.uk.
And you're on Facebook and stuff as well. Twitter and all that.
And to be honest, Cliff, there's dates constantly coming in for the Shimona lads and myself, so it's one of them. If you check sort of weekly or every couple of weeks,
just keep an eye out for what's coming up.
There's gigs popping up all the time.
Let any info you get as well, if you give it to me, I'll certainly put it out over the air, because I mean, I know there's a lot of interest tonight from people sending messages in and asking. I've had a message, there's a band called Seas of Neptune. They're a bit of a rock band. I played their single the other week on here. They're only young lads, and one of them has asked a question about yourself and Treehouse.
Oh yeah, Treehouse.
Saying, have any plans to get Treehouse back together?
Do you know
fella called Jay?
People. Oh, is that might be the
Jay from Seas of Neptune.
Oh no, it's a different Jay. I thought it was a Jay.
These are the only young fellas, these. But
it's a question. You know what? I get asked it a lot. You know, when are you guys going to play any shows together? And you know, I'd love to. I'd love to do not a tour. I'd love to do one more gig.
Yeah,
with the lads, because it was a great band, and although we were from Liverpool, we'd only been together a couple of years before we were shipped out to the States.
Right.
So not a lot of people, I mean, we had a little cult following,
yeah,
and we used to sell the Lomax out and stuff like that, but it just as it was growing, we got signed and shipped out.
And
then
you're gone. Yeah.
So it was like people would go, I remember, hang on, what happened to them?
Yeah.
And then when we come back, I do still get people saying, are you going to put the band back together, and would you tour and stuff? So it would be nice to do, maybe, I don't know, like an anniversary gig or something.
Yeah.
Just for the fun of it. Maybe in Studio 2.
That'd be good. There you go, Jay. I've asked your question for you.
Yeah.
Okay, and Shimona as well. A question for you as well. You wrote a song that I believe Everton used as part of their campaign for season tickets. Because that's a song that I've been playing on here. And I gave to you a while back, Dave. And what was the story behind that? How did they latch onto that one?
Yeah, well, we played the fans on outside the ground.
Oh, right.
And it got streamed inside the ground on the big screen, so we were made up just to do that.
Brilliant.
And then after the show, I got an email off someone at Everton saying, oh, the song Game is yours, and obviously I think it must have been the word game that they picked up on, and thought that
it fits what they wanted.
But
so.
Bainesy had tweeted, hadn't he, saying he liked the band as well.
Bainesy used to do a music blog on the website, he'd give us a shout out on that.
Brilliant.
So then I think that's what got us on the fan zone, and then from there he heard the song, and then it got used in the season ticket campaign, and while we were good, we were proud of that one.
So I take it you're all blue noses then.
Yeah.
I won't mention Sam Allardyce then.
Oh,
don't
think the show's poison jealous. No, he's not my favourite manager, I must admit. And
I think he's on his way, to be fair.
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say. But a big payoff as well, I bet.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so. He's a clever man.
Oh, yeah, he's not soft at all, is he? You know,
he's a big man.
All right.
Well,
fellas, I'd like you to play another song for us, if you would.
Yeah. Do you want to,
what are you going to do?
Alabama?
Yeah, well, this one's going on the new...
Yeah, this is what we're going into record.
Right.
So you can't hear this
anyway. Oh, look at this. It's absolute exclusive. A debut exclusive for Muggle Radio. You're hearing it here tonight on Radio Radio. This is Shimona and Pete Riley and Alabama.
Very professional.
Here we go.
Take two.
Two, three, four.
When I fall, I can only see the great heights that I'm yet to reach. And if I fail, cold heavy fall, pinch the feeling it's getting hard to go. I still see you.
That's Alabama from Shimona and Pete Riley. Again, sounding absolutely fantastic, lads. I'm looking forward to hearing the stuff that you're recording. And Rosie in Oral Park listening to that tonight says, sounding brilliant, boys. So thank you for listening in tonight to Muggle Radio. And that was an exclusive, Shimona and Pete Riley playing Alabama. Guys, we've just about run out of time. We've run over about 10 minutes, but who cares?
Who's
who cares? No one's going to sack me tonight, I don't think. Listen, fellas, it's been an absolute pleasure and privilege to have you on Muggle Radio.
Pleasure's ours, sure.
I'm sure you'll echo that. Yeah. Fellas, well, I definitely have to come back in again towards the end of the year. Once you've had your stuff out and you've done your September gig and that, I definitely have to come back in the studio.
We would love to, mate. Love
brilliant.
To.
Thank you all very much indeed.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Cheers, fellas.
Thank you.
This is Muggle Radio.